Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, the Joe Rogan problem. It is the crisis of speech in the West has come to a music streaming app called Spotify. Joe Rogan is the most popular podcaster on the planet. And if you are not a fan of his or know about him, this is still an important episode for you to listen to because this illustrates other cultural dynamics that will impact your life, your grandchildren's life, our culture, our civilization. Very, very important. Think you're going to enjoy this episode. Email us your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Take out your podcast app. Type in Charlie Kirk Show. Make sure you are subscribed by hitting the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner. Get involved with TP USA Today. That's Turning Point USA, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. Start a high school chapter, start a college chapter today at tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. That's tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Support our show. If you want to keep this conversation going, it's charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by my friends, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172 or andrewandtodd.com. I want to start to cover some of these cultural issues, especially the Joe Rogan story. It's really been weighing on me. But first, how about that football this last weekend? The football games? Oh, my goodness. I'm a big Joe Burrow fan. I always have been. Well, I should say always have been. For the last couple of years, I have been. Probably one of the most amazing college football seasons ever at LSU and won the Heisman undefeated. And is now one of the best NFL quarterbacks out there, and he will be in the Super Bowl against the Los Angeles Rams in their come-from-behind victory against the 49ers. I know I'm not supposed to be watching football, and I get all these people. Charlie, how dare you? I make an allowance for one woke sport, okay? Just one. Okay? The one woke sport that I choose to watch is NFL playoffs. And I guess I watch college football, too. But NBA? No way. We're still boycotting and protesting that. Okay, let's get to Joe Rogan here. So Joe Rogan has been a hero, and he has been willing to platform and have conversations with Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Robert Malone. They're not exactly just random people that stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Dr. Peter McCullough is the most published individual in his field of peer-reviewed studies in cardiology. Dr. Robert Malone holds 9 patents in mRNA technology. Now, these two podcasts in particular have set the collective pharmaceutical industry, media industrial complex completely on fire. So for those of you that might not be Joe Rogan fans or followers of Joe Rogan, let me kind of explain to you how his show works. I've been a convert to the Joe Rogan model. I wasn't a fan at first. It was a little bit too caustic for me, a little bit too much debauchery and swearing, and there's still a fair share of that. But I think that's actually been toned down in the last couple of years and months especially. Joe Rogan, to his great credit, though, has always been an ambassador of free speech and heterodox ideas. He has been willing to talk about things such as UFOs, aliens, the potential medical benefits of mushrooms, ancient samurai culture and history. I mean, every topic you could possibly imagine, Joe Rogan has covered. And Joe Rogan has had conversations about religion and politics. He had Bernie Sanders on his podcast. Now, people try to pin Joe Rogan as a right winger. I don't think so. Joe Rogan is a truth seeker, and I believe Joe Rogan loves liberty. Joe Rogan also hates tyranny. That has been very clear. And Joe Rogan has always kind of been a man's man. In some sense, Joe Rogan has filled kind of a friendship archetype for a lot of people that are very lonely, especially young men that are very lonely, where they could put on their headphones and they feel as if they get to almost put on the Harry Potter invisibility cloak and listen to Joe Rogan having a whiskey and smoking weed with some of his friends. And in some ways, that is the brilliance of the Joe Rogan experience. The Joe Rogan experience is kind of so impactful, not just because I think Joe's really smart, because I do think he's really smart, because he's honest about what he knows and what he doesn't know, which is kind of this unassuming approach he has where he doesn't really debate his guess. He's just like, yeah, I don't know much about that. Explain it to me. And he asks really good questions. But it's also, it's because there's in such long form and almost the guest forgets he's actually on camera. One of the more famous Joe Rogan moments ever that I don't want to say put him on the map because he was definitely on the map before it, but definitely got Wall Street involved was when Elon Musk, about two thirds of the way through one of Joe Rogan's episodes, kind of took a hit of weed with him. Tesla's stock went down and there was, I think there was investigations. There was all sorts of things that happened after that. There were calls for Elon to resign, and Elon was also, I think, sipping whiskey throughout that. That's actually one of the more interesting episodes ever. Joe Rogan had Alex Jones on multiple times. Now, having Alex Jones on will definitely make you a recipient of heavy criticism from the regime media. But if you really want to get the media upset at you, if you want to get the pharmaceutical companies upset at you, have Dr. McCullough and Dr. Malone on. Now, you might say, Charlie, I don't get this Rogan thing. Well, I'll give you an idea. Rogan's average episode is downloaded and listened to by 11 million people. An average primetime audience of CNN is about 800,000 people. Let Football Night in America with Chris Collinsworth, used to be Al Michaels. Who is it now? I can't remember who the new guy is. Who's the new co-host? Gumbel? Something like that? I know Drew Brees is on their roster somewhere. An average Football Night in America on NBC on Sunday night will get between 7 to 9 million viewers. The Super Bowl, by contrast, I think will get 65 to 70 million viewers. That's about right. Maybe 100 million, potentially. So Joe Rogan, give you an idea, in 1 week of commentary, reaches the same amount of people as the Super Bowl will in 2 weeks. That's how big he is. Now, Joe Rogan does not have a massive news network behind him. Joe Rogan does not own a cable news channel. No, it's Joe Rogan in kind of what's called a man cave in the hills of Texas, used to be in Los Angeles, just kind of sits with really interesting people and talks for 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. Now, about a year and a half ago, Joe Rogan signed a record contract with Spotify. Joe Rogan used to post his content everywhere. Used to post it on YouTube, used to post it on Apple Podcast in particular. He was consistently one of the top podcasts on Apple Podcast. Spotify came to him, though, with a record-breaking contract. I think it was a $100 million signing bonus, basically. Not to mention some of the ad revenue and some of the other incentives saying, hey, you're exclusively going to come to Spotify. Now, at the time, this seemed like a great deal for Spotify. Mike Tirico, thank you, from Football Night in America. He actually does a really good job, Mike Tirico. And so Joe Rogan, at the time when he signed this deal, it seemed like a winner for Spotify across the board. They're going to compete in the podcast space against Apple. 85% of all podcasts, by the way, are on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for subscribing to The Charlie Kirk Show. We're on Spotify as well. And Spotify is mostly and mainly a music streaming service used by a lot of different people, very popular, and has grown throughout the years. Acquiring the exclusive rights of Joe Rogan seemed to make all the sense in the world. Until Joe Rogan started to say things that the employees and the stakeholders of Spotify did not like. And so there's this dilemma that has kind of, let's say, hit the shores of Spotify's island, which is, how do we deal with a problem like Joe Rogan? Kind of like, how do you deal with a problem like Maria? But the difference is that there really shouldn't be a problem. They signed Joe Rogan under the belief that this was going to be the free speech, kind of rough around the edges, swearing, talking about things that you might not want your 9 or 10 year old to talk about. And let me be very clear. I'm not endorsing every episode of the Joe Rogan Experience. There are some incredibly graphic, quasi-Howard Stern episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience of people that have lived very colorful lives. But there are other episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience that, if you edit it out for swear words, are incredibly interesting and intellectually pure. That's just, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what mood the guests are going to be in. You don't know where the topics are going to go. The kind of unexpected, unscripted element of Joe Rogan makes it real and authentic, which is why it's been so successful. The Joe Rogan having Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Robert Malone on his program all of a sudden has completely disrupted the matrix, because he circumvented the Facebook fact checkers, the YouTube Gestapo, all the people that were previously able to censor ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and skepticism around the vaccine. No. Joe Rogan found a way to get that truth out to 130 million people outside of the gatekeepers. And for Spotify, that's just kind of been used to streaming Mariah Carey's Christmas song, they did not have the infrastructure, or they have no idea what they just put themselves in the middle of. And that includes Joe Rogan as well, by the way. And so Spotify is now the boxing ring of the fight for free speech in the West, and whether or not we'll be able to openly communicate. So I do know Neil Young's music. I'd be able to sing it if I heard the lyrics. If you ever told me who Neil Young was, I never heard of him. I just know his music just because it's so popular. He obviously thinks very highly of himself. He thinks everyone knows him. He's a 76-year-old rock titan, Neil Young. Okay, his music's... I mean, I looked up some of his music. I know him, a lot of the songs, so obviously he's popular. Sent a letter telling his management team and record label that Spotify would have to choose between hosting his music and hosting the hugely popular podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience. So basically, Neil Young became like an Iranian hostage taker. He's like, either you take me or I'm going, you give me like a plane full of cash or I'm going to shoot the hostages. And so Neil Young says, it continues, and alleges that Rogan had broadcast inaccuracies about COVID-19, including hosting guests who plugged ivermectin as an effective treatment by portraying vaccines unnecessary for young people. Now, might I add that there's a new study out of Japan that the media is ignoring. Reuters covered it. Japan's Kowa pharmaceutical company says ivermectin effective against Omicron in phase 3 trial. That is Reuters, Thomson Reuters News Foundation. And who are you going to trust? Dr. Robert Malone, who has 9 patents in the space of mRNA technology? Dr. Peter McCullough, who is the most published cardiologist in his field? How about Dr. Pierre Corey, one of the most well-recognized doctors in his specialized area in the University of Wisconsin-Madison? Or how about Dr. Richard Urso? These are very credible doctors who have dared to ask questions about the consensus. But no, we should trust Neil Young. Spotify, Young wrote, could have Rogan or Young, not both. Well, Spotify picked the podcaster over the musician. On the Beach, Old Man, and most of the rest of Young's gorgeous, warbling catalog as a lead artist is no longer available to Spotify's 381 million users. The Joe Rogan Experience, a chat show about subjects such as health, society, mixed martial arts, and aliens, remains available. In a statement, this is what the most amazing part of the statement is, and this is where this shows you exactly where this is going to go. Spotify says this. They want all the world's music and audio content to be available to Spotify users. However, they said to Neil Young, we removed over 20,000 podcast episodes related to COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic. Oh, really? Do you want all the audio content available? Why are you... Wait, so basically they're telling Neil Young, no, don't leave us. We actually censor all the time. Don't leave us, Neil Young. We're the masters of censorship. We've removed 20,000 episodes. Rogan has been, for some years now, arguably the most influential podcaster on the planet. Obviously, we've said that. So Neil Young is trying to start a movement Joni Mitchell is now boycotting. Again, I don't know who that is, but I know her music. So just kind of, you go to enough department stores and restaurants and gyms and watch enough movies, you hear all this music or watch advertisements, you just don't put two and two together. Not exactly my world. I'm not saying she's not big. I'm just saying I don't know who that is. It'd be like someone who never watched football not knowing who Joe Burrow is or not knowing who Patrick Mahomes is. I get it. She's another aged anti-establishment hippie. And don't you find it interesting that these are all like septuagenarians? The same time, it's very interesting. If you put Neil Young, Chuck Schumer, Howard Stern, Nancy Pelosi all in a room, Joni Mitchell, these are all kind of has-been late 70 and early 80-year-old, dare I say, kind of nasty and mean people that want society to conform to the last gasp of their wishes. Let me ask you something. What if there was someone out there who kept a log of every single thing you did every minute of the day? I think that would be really creepy. Well, if I told you that's exactly what happens every time you go online, your internet provider is allowed to store logs of every website you have ever visited and then can legally sell this data to anyone. That's why I use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your internet providers can't see or log what you do online. Now, many of you might be wondering, what if I'm routing all my data through a VPN? Then doesn't mean the VPN can see what I'm doing instead. Well, you're right to think that. Many VPNs claim to have no logs policy, but then they've been caught logging customer activity. ExpressVPN is the only VPN I trust because they used a trusted server technology. They were the first major VPN to engineer all the VPN servers to run in RAM, R-A-M. This makes it impossible for their VPN servers to store any data, including logs of any ExpressVPN customer. And you don't have to take my word for it. ExpressVPN is so confident in their no logs claim, they even had one of the biggest assurance firms, PricewaterhouseCoopers, audit their technology. It's no wonder that The Verge named ExpressVPN the number one VPN in the world. Stop letting people keep logs of what you do online. Visit expressvpn.com/Charlie right now and find out how you can get 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie, expressvpn.com/Charlie to learn more. Why American life went on as normal during the killer pandemic of 1969. At Woodstock, those that look back, people got very sick. There was an H3N2, otherwise known as the Hong Kong flu. It was an influenza strain that the New York Times described as one of the worst in the nation's history. The first case of H3N2, which evolved from H2N2 influenza strain, caused the 1957 pandemic, was reported in mid-July 1968 in Hong Kong. By September, it had infected Marines returning to the States from the Vietnam War. By mid-December, the Hong Kong flu had arrived in all 50 states. But schools were not shut down nationwide, other than a few dozen of too many sick teachers. Face masks were not required or even common. Though Woodstock was not held during the peak months, it was still during the pandemic as we know it. The festival went ahead when the virus was still active and had no known cure. Quote, "I wish they had social distancing," joked one attendee. "Life continued as normal," Jeffrey Tucker said. But as with now, no one knew for certain how deadly it would turn out to be. Regardless, people went on with their lives. Over 1 million people worldwide died of the Hong Kong flu. And it was probably even more than that because we didn't have good testing and there's all sorts of differences there. CIA director Alan Dulles was killed by the H3N2 flu, as was Hitchcock actress Tallulah Bankhead. But of course, Woodstock went on without a hitch. Now, first of all, for those who actually know the history of Woodstock, it was a disaster. Mudslides, no food, terrible hygiene, rapes, incest, orgies, drug use. It has been so, let's just say, disgustingly romanticized by a certain generation of people that look at that as like this wonderful moment. Actually, it was disgusting. If you actually look at pictures, not like the pictures where everyone kind of looks like they're in some sort of John Lennon song. It was a catastrophe. But they look at it as this big positive because I don't know why. They called it 3 days of peace, love, and happiness. Sure. But anyway, why am I talking about Woodstock? Well, because Neil Young, the very guy who is now taking his music off of Spotify, and Joni Mitchell, who's also taking music off of Spotify, they participated in a super spreader mass orgy event when they were young But now they don't want the younger Joe Rogan to try to find the truth out. How does one, this is a very interesting question. By the way, this pertains to Howard Stern as well, by the way. How does someone like Howard Stern and Neil Young go from the live and let live kind of risk-taking, embracing, drug-using, sexual anarchist, how do they go from that to, if you dare have a doctor on your podcast that is published and has 9 patents and says something I don't like, I'm going to remove my music. It does kind of play into that theme, though, isn't it? That the last chapter in the book of liberalism is totalitarianism. It really is. Is that it all starts in Woodstock with mudslides and orgies and drug use and everyone's having a great time. Peace, love, and happiness. Yeah, sure. And then it ends in Neil Young, in the last chapter of his book of liberalism, says, if you dare disagree with me, if you have a doctor I don't like, I'm going to pull my music. So Spotify's not really sure how to handle this. And Joe Rogan has broken his silence. So I listened to the 9.5-minute selfie video that Joe Rogan did. And I think it's being misrepresented by some people. Some people say that he has caved. They say that he is retreating. I don't think that's totally true, but he's definitely wavering. And I think Joe Rogan might have picked a fight he's not totally prepared to go into. Possibly. Now, I've met Rogan once. I think very highly of him, and this is not an insult to him at all. But he did apologize throughout this selfie video. I'm not going to play the whole 9.5-minute clip. Half of it's like this weird story about how he loves Neil Young. Really bizarre. And Joni Mitchell, like how he was a security guard in New Jersey. And I don't know. It's kind of weird. Almost like he was trying to suck up to Neil Young, like asking him to come back to the podcast, trying to disarm him. Not exactly how I would handle things. Joe Rogan did stand up against this claim of what is misinformation and what is disinformation. Joe Rogan did apologize, I think, at least 6 times in this selfie video, saying, I'm sorry if you think I let you down. People really don't believe that, Joe. I hope you know that, right? That Twitter is not a real place. If you think that people are going away from you, they're not. Now, this could be a strategy by Joe Rogan. It could be to try to make him seem very reasonable and very middle of the road to try to attract more listeners. Let's play this tape of Joe Rogan commenting on this. And I listened to the whole 9.5 minutes so I can help build it out. Let's play tape.
The podcast has been accused of spreading dangerous misinformation, specifically about 2 episodes, a little bit about some other ones, but specifically about 2. One with Dr. Peter McCullough and one with Dr. Robert Malone. Both these people are very highly credentialed, very intelligent, very accomplished people, and they have an opinion that's different from the mainstream narrative. I wanted to hear what their opinion is.
And so he then talks about how Dr. Malone and Dr. McCullough came on his program. And then he says, well, next time I need to try to have a countering voice to Dr. Malone and Dr. McCullough. And I totally disagree with Joe Rogan there. The whole point of your show is not to try to have the consensus voice. Do you need to have the anti-alien voice on if you also have the alien voice on? Do you need to have like the anti-psychedelic mushroom person if you have the pro-psychedelic mushroom person? The whole point, Joe, is that your show is usually an incubator for heterodox ideas. And look, I do think it's important to have for Joe's purposes every once in a while, you know, that goon that calls himself a doctor. It's Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who's an idiot. He's a total idiot. He has this whole like COVID World War III or whatever his name, you know, stupid thing. While they call ivermectin a horse dewormer and Japanese phase 3 trials are saying that ivermectin actually helps in antiviral replication and can help against the spread of the virus. History will show that we were on the right side of this. But I think Joe is hedging a little bit too much. Now, the people are speculating, why is Joe Rogan doing this? Why is he going towards the middle and all this? Some people said it's just because of the money. That could be true. It could be his $100 million sweetheart deal might be incentivizing him to back down. Because here's what I do know. That selfie video that Joe Rogan made is not the same sort of fighting spirit we've seen out of Joe Rogan the last couple months. I will agree with that. Now, to say that he's retreating and all that, here's the thing. Joe Rogan might just be saying that, and the next thing you know, he might just have Dr. Pierre Corey on. You never know. It's an unexpected thing. So I think it's wrong to just kind of mischaracterize him. But I think that Joe Rogan probably, this is probably fair, has got himself into a fight that I don't think he quite wanted, which is a fight that is involving the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, George Soros. It's kind of like Joe Rogan is the radio frequency to the rebellion of the Great Reset. And Joe Rogan's like, whoa, yo, I'm like, we're the mushroom show. We don't, what do you mean? Like Klaus Schwab knows me? Like, no, we don't do that. And he kind of said that in the video, right? And he kind of says, he's like, this has gotten way bigger than I ever thought. It just started with me messing around with some friends. And it's an out of control thing that I don't even have control of. And he's like, I apologize for that. And I think deep down, Joe Rogan's like, I wanted to be rich and famous and have a good time and like moderate UFC fights. I was a Fear Factor host, okay? I literally am a stand-up comedian Fear Factor host. And I have like, the Sultan of Brunei wants me dead, you know, or whatever. And I say this half-kiddingly, but Cable News is going after him in a full court press. Play cut three of Kat Rosenfield. Play cut three.
Here's people who, you know, they like something that we, you know, who consider ourselves more enlightened, don't think is good for them. You know, we think that they're internalizing this misinformation, that they're using it to make bad decisions. But if you took away Joe Rogan by deplatforming him, just as if you, you know, took away Doritos, would they seek out better information? Would they seek out, you know, like a podcast like New York Times, The Daily, or, you know, would they start reading The Wall Street Journal? I don't know. I think that that's sort of the fundamental question here.
Yeah. New York Times Daily. Super credible. Right. So Rogan continues cut 19 to defend himself. Play cut 19.
I had them on. And because of that, those episodes in particular, those episodes were labeled as being dangerous. They had dangerous misinformation in them. The problem I have with the term misinformation, especially today, is that many of the things that we thought of as misinformation just a short while ago are now accepted as fact. All of those theories that at one point in time were banned were openly discussed by those two men that I had on my podcast that have been accused of dangerous misinformation.
This is the strongest point of a selfie video. For about a minute and a half, Joe Rogan goes through the origin of the virus, leaky vaccines, all these things that were once labeled misinformation, very intelligently and very calmly goes through all of that. Things that were once considered conspiracy theories, lab leak, Wuhan Institute of Virology, leaky vaccines, cloth masks, ivermectin are now considered to be consensus. So basically everything that we on this program have been diving into, not just our program, though, Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, is now all of a sudden being considered a threat to, you know, threat to free speech, misinformation, disinformation. And so I think Joe is right there. But Joe's in a pickle and Joe's going to have to choose. This problem is not going away, okay? Because Joe Rogan's not all of a sudden just going to become like a cable news show. It's not going to happen. Where he just kind of has the same six guests over and over again. Okay, what do you think about this? Joe is too intellectually honest for that. And Joe might be kind of being put in his corner right now by the COVID lobby, by the medical fascists. But deep down, Joe is a curious and courageous person. Deep down, Joe is not going to take this for so long. And at some point, Joe will be like, you know what? You keep your $100 million Spotify. I might do my own thing. And we did say, I don't know if we said this on our show, but we said it internally. The downside of signing that big deal with Spotify is that he very well might have put himself in a corner to allow them to control what he was going to say. So far, that's not true, but they are now going to be adding disclaimers to his episodes. They're going to be adding pre-roll saying COVID-19 is very serious and talk to your doctor before any of this information. If anyone could break away from the corporate media, it's Joe Rogan. Establish his own company and do his own thing. Joe's going to have to choose at some point whether he likes it or not. I want to take a moment and thank Patriot Mobile, my new cell phone provider, for their support. Whether it's on this show, other conservative hosts, Turning Point USA, or others, they get it. Look, here's how Patriot Mobile works. Instead of you using some cell company that runs all these woke TV advertisements that make you cringe during a football game. Patriot Mobile has the same towers, but you are working with a company where any profits they make get given back to pro-life groups, Turning Point USA. You are partnering with Patriots. I know Glenn. He runs Patriot Mobile. Does a great job. They offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as the major carriers. They get great nationwide coverage, plus the peace of mind that your money isn't supporting the left. Stop giving money to people who hate you. So look, when you pay your cell phone bill, if you are paying one of the big guys, you might as well, on your credit card statement, it might as well say BLM. You are a donor to BLM if you give money to the major cell phone companies. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, and our veteran and first responder heroes. So go right now to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get a free activation with the offer code CHARLIE. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Support a company that loves America, loves you, and shares your values. It's patriotmobile.com/Charlie, patriotmobile.com/Charlie, or call 972-PATRIOT. Look, Patriot Mobile is what you need right now. Stop paying money via your cell phone companies to the left-wing arsonists destroying our country. If you wouldn't give money to Planned Parenthood, if you wouldn't give money to the transgender lobby, if you wouldn't give money to the Alphabet Mafia, if you wouldn't give money to BLM, then why would you do it via your cell phone company? You might say, well, Charlie, I don't know a competitor. Well, now you know one. It's called Patriot Mobile. It's super simple. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. I have done this. Our entire team is moving towards Patriot Mobile. Producer Andrew is signaling his phone right now. He's on Patriot Mobile. And now he knows that his cell phone bill every single month supports the good guys, not the wokies. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. If you have a kid or grandkid, chances are they listen to Joe Rogan or have listened to Joe Rogan. And he is one of the most powerful communicators to people under the age of 30. That is the most desired demographic, largely because he's real. He is authentic. He is not scripted. He is not corporate. He's the opposite of corporate, actually. Spotify's bet on podcasts has attracted subscribers and ad dollars. But Neil Young's protest of Rogan highlights one downside to it. Spotify has responsibility for its content, and its content may be controversial. Well, apparently, Bruce Springsteen is now also asking for his music to be removed. Now, I do know Bruce Springsteen. Born to Run, that's one of his songs, right? What is it with these mid-70-year-old musicians that want their music to be listened to by less people for... It's not even political. It's just, this is some weird and strange stuff. Yep, Bruce Springsteen, 72. Bruce Springsteen removing his music from Spotify alongside Neil Young and Joni Mitchell. Got it. I correct myself. It's not Bruce Springsteen. It's his guitarist. Very, very. I was going to say that New York Post article didn't look like Bruce Springsteen, the guy wearing the Colin Kaepernick jersey. I was like, he's really aged. He looks terrible. So it's not Bruce Springsteen. Got it. Well, the boycott continues. Springsteen has a massive Spotify deal with Obama, actually, for a podcast they co-host. So probably not going to pull anytime soon. But one other story I wanted to cover here. Lindsey Graham said nominating a black woman to the Supreme Court would make it look more like America, not affirmative action. Lindsey Graham has rejected the idea that Biden tapping a black woman for SCOTUS is affirmative action. The senator said the president had a wealth of qualified candidates to choose from. Senator Roger Wicker said a black female nominee would be a beneficiary of affirmative action. He's right. Lindsey Graham on Sunday refuted the notion. He said, we need to make the court look more like America. Why the heck does how you look matter, Lindsey Graham? Let me ask you a question, and every single conservative would answer this the same way. Would you rather have 9 justices that were white and as liberal as Ruth Bader Ginsburg, or 9 justices that were black and as conservative as Clarence Thomas? How does one's look matter at all? The most conservative justice on the court is Clarence Thomas, alongside Neil Gorsuch, and Alito. Why is Lindsey Graham caring about identity politics? Why is he playing into the retribalization? Instead, Lindsey Graham, the Republican minority chairman of the House of the Senate Judiciary Committee, very well might be in the majority soon, should be like, it's irrelevant. I do not want to see nominees based on melanin content. If they're smart, we'll hear about them. If they're qualified, we'll hear from them. Said Lindsey Graham is saying to the American people, you're so stupid that you must have a higher representation of melanin content. What good are Republicans if they just recycle Democrat talking points to try to win favor from CBS? Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.